The Reserve Pool, Episode 12, The Free Agents. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Reserve Pool, a podcast about Dice Masters and, more importantly, the people who love to play it. This is Dave.
This is Katie.
And this is Evan.
And once again, we're very happy to be here with you. Before we get started, don't forget to find us on Twitter at The Reserve Pool. We just passed our 100th follower not that long ago, shortly before the recording date, anyway. Also, find our Board Game Geek Guild. We're going to get in the swing of things again with character reviews shortly after recording this, so probably we have some polls up and other stuff. Board Game Links, click that little heart by our name. Keep us on the hot and fresh list if you please. And keep those reviews coming in on iTunes. We really appreciate all of the support from everybody. It really was unexpected, so thank you, everybody. Keep it coming. All right, so how's everything been going with life in general for you guys? I feel like we always talk about the games, but we're concerned about you, too.
I've been pretty good. What have I been doing mostly revolves around the game. I just dropped a couple of articles that will already be up by the time this is on the air, but I was very excited for San Diego Comic-Con, so there should be a couple of neat articles for people to take a look at now.
Yeah, definitely a lot of news from there. And of course, shortly after this episode drops, we'll be at Gen Con. And really, I hope that as much news as came out of San Diego Comic Con, that's not really where you think of game news coming from. Though certainly WizKids is heavily tied to comics with Clicks and now this game as well. But hopefully we really see a lot of stuff happening at Gen Con, even though Uncanny has been delayed at this point.
Yeah, we're officially waiting till October now.
I think that's expected. I don't think anybody could really be surprised about that.
Yeah, particularly, just given all the dice they have to make.
Yes, yes.
Largest dice manufacturer in the world.
we can only hope that the delay is at least partially related to making sure that we will not have the same problems we did with the AVX set, so that we can have lots of starter kits available for people to come on into the game.
Yeah, I think it'll be better. What have you been up to, Evan? How is your life treating you?
Pretty well. I'm actually going on vacation next week, so I've been sort of gearing up for that.
Nice, nice. Anywhere fun?
Yeah, I'm going on a retreat with a bunch of my friends, so.
Cool. Well, that'll be very nice, I'm sure. Relaxing and certainly necessary.
We're probably going to sit around. We're probably going to hang out and play board games a lot.
I think that sounds like the best of vacations.
Yeah, you better have a couple of interesting things for us when you get back.
Quite possibly.
Good, good. We speaking of vacations, we actually just took a little day trip to Hershey Park, and I rode, finally, the Sky Rush, which is a newer coaster there. That thing is insane. I mean, I have been on a lot of coasters, but I have never felt like a coaster wanted to kill me the way that Sky Rush did, and I say that in the best way possible. Like, this thing wanted to throw me out of the ride. It wasn't just airtime, like, ooh, I'm out of my seat. It was airtime, like, popping an ejector seat out of Bond's car at like 100 miles an hour or something.
Sounds terrifying.
It was awesome. And you just have this like lap thing. Like it just kind of braces you around your thighs. It was insane. It is immediately one of my favorite roller coasters. And again, I've been on several in the Northeast. Wow. It was nuts. So, but yeah, it was a nice day. Good day trip. Hershey Park is not that far from us. 3 hours. We'll take it. All right, well, this is a Dice Masters podcast, so why don't we get to it? Guys, we did a contest not that long ago, and I guess we had better update everybody because we have some winner chicken dinner or something.
Woo!
Right? Isn't that how it goes?
Winner dice or I guess not dice, card dinner?
I don't know. Let's check it out.
And now, without further ado, it's time to announce the winners of the OP Month 1 contest.
Woo!
First, we'll announce the winners of the teamwork card. And I apologize in advance if I mispronounce anyone's name. It's entirely possible.
He's going to mispronounce your name.
Yes. He just will. But
he
just,
will. We know
just
it.
Accept it.
It's predestined.
Our teamwork winners are Jeremy Topsizewski, Victor Eichhorn, Jason Thompson, Jason Erb, Dane Turner, Garrick Schertz, Craig St. Hilaire, and RLR II. Congratulations.
Congrats, yeah. Guys.
A winner is you. You know, I make fun of him, but I would not have done a better job with the name. So, you know, it's just you happen to be on the hot seat. So, haha.
All right. So, congratulations, guys. Make sure that you email Evan at thereservepool.com to collect your rewards. And Evan will also be mailing you out after the podcast airs.
Well, actually, before we get to the quote-unquote grand prize things, Evan, I want to say thanks, because this contest, really, we wouldn't have been able to do this if it wasn't for the work that you put in behind the scenes. So, Evan, great job putting this all together. Thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. And now, Katie and Dave will announce each of our grand prize winners, receiving both Thor the Mighty and Teamwork.
All right, well, I'll go first here. We have John Nall. Congratulations, John. For the grand prize winners, we are going to share your story. John says, my daughter loves dice games. We play a lot of zombie dice. She rolls a lot of my dice when I play Battletech and Mage Knight at the house, so I thought she would love Dice Masters. As she is just learning to read, we are currently playing without basic actions or any card text, only with the dice cost, fielding cost, attack, and defense values. A pretty good strategy, if I might add. For a newbie like that. After playing a few games with some teams I put together to be balanced, she decided she wanted to pick her team. She sorted all the cards, looked over the costs, and settled on Gambit, Beast, Black Widow, and Storm. I started to select my team, and she jumped up and asked if she could pick my team also. I agreed, as I was curious as to what she would pick for me. I ended up with Colossus Unstoppable, Cyclops if looks could kill, Dr. Octopus fully armed, and Dr. Strange Sorcerer Supreme.
You have a very smart daughter, though.
Yes. It was Pretty obvious girl. That she learned about dice cost in the first few games, and that 2 to 3 costs were easy to get, and 5 to 7 were harder. I was constantly re-rolling all my energy to get sidekicks, and I finally got a Doc Ock out. She was consistently hitting me for 2 to 4 per turn after turn 3, and by turn 8, it was all over but the crying. Needless to say, she has grasped some of the ideas. Once she learns to read and can start comboing characters and actions, I'm in real trouble. John, from the sounds of it, you sure are, but congratulations, you have another high-cost character that you can stick you with.
Good job, yeah.
Your daughter is awesome, and bring her to an OP.
All right. Our second winner is going to be Eric Crosby. He tells us that his greatest loss and victory all happened in the same day. It was a hot and humid Saturday afternoon in Central Florida. My best friend Ryan and I had just finished recording our podcast, Turtle Soup, and decided to bust out the Marvel Dice Masters. Up to this point, he'd only played 5 games of MDM, and 3 of them were against Ryan, a seasoned player of the game. Ryan brought his Tsarina and Gabi deck to the table. I decided to bring Beast, Genetic Expert, to deal with Tsarina, and Captain America, that he can't remember the proper name, and neither can I, that uses your opponent's sidekicks against them, to deal with Gabi. I also decided to bring Doctor Strange, Master of the Mystic Arts, to the table to coincide with my strategy of purchasing more of the action dice to use as energy to buy more dice, a strategy I believe I picked up from listening to TRP. The first 3 games were over in about 10 minutes or less, with Ryan as the victor each time and me having barely even gotten any dice on the field. After an exasperated sigh, I sarcastically exclaimed, "Wow, that was fun. I didn't even get to do, well, anything." Ryan said that my strategy of buying actions is the reason for my quick defeat, but offered to play again but remove Tsarina and Gabi. He replaced them with Killer Instinct and Nog. This match lasted about 20 minutes or so, and I got to see my strategy pan out quite nicely. Long story short, I'd been buying a few action dice, mostly Power Bolt, and was able to end up with Doctor Strange on the table at the same time as he had rolled 3 action dice, 2 of which were Power Bolt, for a total of 10 hits, to the opponent and the action dice and Doctor Strange's ability alone, thus ending the game victoriously. I shook my friend's hand. I fell to my knees with arms raised high. Everything went in slow motion for a few minutes, and it was glorious. Well, Eric, I hope you're feeling the same way now that you've walked away with the Thor and teamwork card. So, thanks for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That goes for everyone. Thank you for sharing your stories. They were greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. A lot of them were fun to read. And I got to say, while we picked everything randomly here, I think that the story that John shared just so happened to be my favorite story. So I'm actually really glad that he won. That was just, I really got a kick out of that.
Yeah, I mean, John, you've got a sharp kid on your hands, since she's very obviously grasped some of those things that, I mean, we've been talking about here. It's almost like you've got her listening to our podcast.
Maybe. All right, well, that wraps up our first contest. Once again, thanks to Evan for throwing this all together for us, and we are going to have more contests in the future. What will they be like? I don't know. You'd better listen and read and all that stuff.
There sure will be some contests.
Indeed.
Even if the prize is a plastic bag. It'll be better than a plastic bag.
It'll be a really, really cool plastic bag.
Absolutely. It'll be a plastic bag that's been condensed down into a die that you can use to play this game. We are eco-friendly at the Reserve Pool.
Sounds
a die made of molten plastic bags.
And I have something in the oven that I gotta grab real quick that I forgot about. So for today's feature topic, we are going to be talking about what we call the free agents. These are the people who do not carry a team affiliation, though of course we love them just the same, even though they don't fit in. We're talking, of course, about Spider-Man, Angel, Deadpool, Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider, Nick Fury, Nightcrawler, Nova, Punisher, Silver Surfer, and War Machine. To a lesser extent, we could include the actions Mjolnir and Vibranium Shield, but really, we've already talked about the basic actions, and these technically fit the mold, but we're probably going to be sitting them aside today. So, let's begin this the way we've begun all of our affiliation discussions. Who do you like?
Super easy. Angel, Deadpool, and Spider-Man are probably some of my favorites.
I think, do you mean as a character, or?
Oh, forget characters. I hate Spider-Man. Character-wise, I gotta say Doctor Strange. He's always been a character I'm kind of interested in, so he's pretty cool.
But ability-wise, then, for you, Angel, Deadpool, and Spidey?
Yeah. Lesser extent, Nova. Nova's pretty cool, too.
See, Nova was where I was gonna go with that. I like a lot of what his cards do. Just the common, where you get to draw one die when he takes damage. There's some shenanigans that you can play with that, though, of course, he does cost 5. How about you, Evan?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about gameplay, Quasar Nova definitely has a special place. He was sort of my first I don't know. I think I might have actually used him before I, like, keyed to how good Mutate 666 is. But, yeah, I'd pretty much say that the same. I'm maybe a little less fond of Spider-Man, but his die is quite strong in a very similar way to how Green Goblin's die is strong. That's a nice little mirror-y thing there.
A little bit of a foil there, yeah.
Yep.
But as for actual characters, I'm a pretty big Deadpool fan. I like Doctor Strange. I think my issue with a lot of these guys is most of them don't seem like they should be free agents. Angel,
we're gonna get to that.
Okay,
Evan.
Okay, fine. I'll shut up.
But no, my favorites. You know, I really only like the one Spider-Man and maybe two of the three Angels. Deadpool, I like him pretty much up and down the line. I think Punisher definitely has to get some notice here. But as far as who I use the most, probably, honestly, right now I'm a fan of Silver Surfer and his global ability. I might use him more than any of these others. But I think top to bottom, I'm going to have to go with Punisher here.
I don't know. I mean, I think Punisher really only stands out in his McRook form. The other two seem a little too costly for what they do.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
That's fair, but I love the stats that are on his dice. And I think that... Hang on, let me look up.
Oh man, we're going to... You're totally going to have a party when you start using X-23.
Oh my goodness. X-23 has amazing stats. Oh my god, Laura.
Yeah.
Hang on. 7.
Okay.
2 on her face 3. That is disgusting for a 4 cost card.
I'm looking at it here. For one, you gotta love his stats as an offensive die. For two, I mean, the 6 cost, okay, I can understand what you're talking about with the cost there. I don't think the 5 is that bad. I think that it's very easy to get multiple of him out, and plus he can search for himself. And I kind of like that. And I kind of like that your opponent can pay 2 life to stop the effect, because that's a lot of life. Well, 2, 3, or 4, depending on the rarity here. That's a fair amount. You know, Big Nothing could potentially clear the board or get you closer to it. Now, he's maybe not as effective with that as, you know, say, Cyclops. But he does a lot for you. So, I don't know. Top to bottom, I do think Punisher is my favorite, even if the costs may be a little bit out of line. So, I don't know.
All right, that's fair. I feel like top to bottom, probably Deadpool. I'm less a fan of his common version, although it's kind of good for the price. But once you go up the line to his Jack and Chiyonosuke versions, those are both pretty cool.
I'm a little less of a fan of Chiyonosuke just because, if I'm remembering it right, he has to knock out his opponent, and
yes,
he doesn't have good offensive stats at all.
Yeah, this is fair.
Well, I see there are 2 benefits to him. The first is that if your opponent tries to force him to attack, and this was actually brought up by Keebler, who did that guest post for us not that long ago. If your opponent forces him to attack with, say, Mr. Fantastic, he can't just be like moved off the board, you know, let the damage go through and so forth, like we've talked about with other cards, because you pretty much have to assign somebody to block him. So at worst, he's going to the use, or to the, excuse me, to the prep area. He may even return to the field. So you can't just get rid of him that way. So he can be a bit more of a headache. Plus, with his defensive stats, he's very hard to assassinate off the board unless you're doing a specific targeted thing like Punisher. You know, but Hawkeye is not generally going to be able to take care of him. So that's what I like about that one. I think that there are some drawbacks to him. Evan, you pointed that out with the offensive stats, though. Could always use a global like the one on invulnerability to pump him up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I mostly just see it's like, well, the ability to make everything take some damage if he knocks something out is pretty cool. But, you know, he can't necessarily even knock out Beast.
Right.
If Beast's on his higher faces, I think that's 4 on his level 3, and I think Deadpool peaks at 3.
Yes, he does.
So, you know, when you can't knock out Beast and you have to knock someone out to get your ability to go,
yeah, but you get to
times.
Pick your blocker.
Yeah,
you get to pick your blocker.
Right. I'm just saying the most common person you're going to have to want to block is, or going to have to block. Have as a choice to block, and probably someone you'll want to get out of the way, is Beast.
I don't know. I don't want to force Beast to block because I don't want my opponent to be drawing dice.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be using Deadpool to hopefully take out one of the one of the annoying guys who isn't encouraged to block, like
yeah, perhaps
Beast
a Serena
is.
Or
yeah,
or like Human Torch.
Oh,
there you
Human
go.
Torch.
Human Torch is actually probably one of the
Human
best
Torch.
Choices. Though, again, yeah. You can't necessarily kill him with Deadpool either.
Yeah, well, I mean, he...
On 2 of his levels.
2 of his
yeah.
levels can
Pump
take
him up
out
in a third,
2
yeah.
of Horch's levels.
So.
All right.
Yeah. But, so I guess I'm a little higher on that card than you. But, again, I like that he can't be distractioned away, but whatever, he can't be taunted away the way that we've done with some other cards. And I think that's pretty cool. So, yeah, I'm with you there, Katie. Who do we not like at all? Nightcrawler?
Not a big fan of Nightcrawler. He's kind of one of those characters who maybe he seemed like a good idea when he was being designed, but at the end of the day sort of doesn't make sense. I think one of the big things about Nightcrawler, and I've talked about this a little bit in articles on occasion, is he's really only good if you start to have situations where people want to multiple block your attackers. And as the game is currently designed, there is no reason to multi-block characters, unless you're talking about a trample effect, and they're so hard to come by that they're too hard to come by.
Yeah, or if you're talking about a whole bunch of beasts. That's the only other occasion that I've seen it.
Yeah, well where you're trying to get multiple beast triggers. That's definitely one of those things where you've got, like, Nightcrawler can only be blocked by Mask, for example, on his common form. It's like, that's the only thing I don't want him blocking him.
Because most of the really good blockers are Masks.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, that might be good if somebody has neglected to bring any Masks, but with the current meta, the way it is, I don't think almost anyone ever doesn't bring Beast, at the very least.
Or at the very least, Gambit.
Or Gambit, or or Storm, who you in general want to be able to recycle. So they're, Mr. Fantastic, who's a pretty good blocker in general. So again, and you know, being able to block or knock out one of the characters he attacks, you know, anyway, I don't think Nightcrawler, that's how I kind of feel about him. He doesn't have a really strong set of abilities. And like I said, I think it might have looked really better on paper to somebody who thought that there was going to be a lot more multi-blocking. But the current meta has functionally none, unless it's to benefit the defender. And this is clearly designed to try to benefit the attacker, and it doesn't.
Well, and he has the, unfortunately, there are a couple of situations like this in the game right now. He has the thing where you probably, like his rare sort of invalidates his uncommon in this case. His rare after assigning blockers, knock out one character blocking Nightcrawl before assigning damage. The other one is at the end of the attack step, knock out one character that blocked Nightcrawler, which would obviously be after damage has been assigned, because we're talking the very end of the attack step. I would probably rather do that early on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because that way you can either completely remove someone from the board or just not have damage go to Nightcrawler, because, I mean, you don't really want to recycle. Sometimes you want to recycle characters, but I don't think Nightcrawler is one of those guys who you really want to recycle.
Not at all. No, it wouldn't make sense.
Because he has TFC 4, so he's not necessarily a sure thing to get back on the board, even if you roll a character face on him.
Yeah, on the bright side, at least he does not. At least the ruling on his uncommon will knock out a character, even if he gets knocked out, so...
Right, but I'd rather he not, and the rare allows that to happen for the exact same cost. So it's just a little superfluous there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Nightcrawler is clearly the least of this bunch. The rest of them are actually, they're all pretty good, right?
Well,
there is definitely someone who is worse than Nightcrawler, though it's really just one of their cards.
Are you talking about Ghost Rider?
Yes, I'm talking about Ghost Rider.
I knew we were going to bring that up. Yeah, we don't like the two-cost Ghost Rider.
It's none just of kind do. Of terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it at length before, but we might as well rehash, you know, TFC6, pretty mediocre stats for that TFC, maybe a good way to start getting more bolt energy recycling through your bag, but the other two Ghost Riders are way better.
Yeah, I think the two cost for some bolt energy is the only reason that I can think of to let this guy stand. And of course, we've seen now with the upcoming Iceman and his bolt energy shenanigans, and I've actually been working on a deck that at this point, I'm sure I have the article up, that actually does use him, though I really don't like it. But it does use him just because of the available bolt energy. I mean, long-term, he's probably... If you're planning on fielding him, he's long-term probably a loss in energy. Whatever you're saving on the by purchasing him for just two, you're losing long term in what you are using to field, or you know, what you're paying to field him.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps if he were like an Avenger, which obviously thematically makes no sense, and you might and you might be able to you know, use Nick Fury to facilitate his fielding or something similar, he might have, you know, he might become a good purchase. But
yeah, but that's not going to happen.
But given the fact that you can't, there's currently no cards or dice that allow you to lower the fielding cost of characters. He doesn't make sense.
No, he doesn't. And I actually still don't like the common Doctor Strange. I'm sorry. I know his stats are good. I'm okay with the uncommon, but 7 cost to purchase an action die for free during your main step. That's just... It's probably too little too late at that point. I just don't see the benefit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if he were a little cheaper, I mean, he would have to be a different character because I don't think it's fair for him to have that kind of stat at, like, a purchase cost of 5. But if he had that ability and some lesser stats at a purchase cost of perhaps 5, I think that would be good, especially since it would preclude you from taking out his Master of the Mystic Arts uncommon, which is the Doctor Strange that most benefits from you having a lot of actions. I think that would be okay, but I hope WizKids has learned a little bit about the kind of the high-end purchase cost, especially the 7s. 6s, you can, you know, usually slide one in pretty early if you get some beneficial dice rolls, but 7 is really hard to hit. And I think we've talked about it a couple times. 7s need to win you the game.
They really do, and he does not. He just doesn't. Now, of course, we do like Nick Fury and War Machine, but we talked about them a lot with the Avengers. So they don't really fit in here because they're Avenger buddies, and we do like them, but they don't work on... Nick Fury doesn't really work on his own. War Machine doesn't really work on his own. They require help. I mean, War Machine and Nick Fury, they have some stats, sort of, and War Machine does have the one global. But beyond that, right? I mean,
yeah.
They're basically Avengers, even though they're not.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why War Machine, especially given the other statistical benefits that can come to the Avengers, I understand why he's not listed as an Avenger, but it's still kind of obnoxious. He's an Avenger in spirit. I mean, he pretty much has to be paired with Iron Man to start to take advantage of the combination of his purchase cost and his abilities.
Yeah, though, to be totally honest, there's a lot of free agents who... Their free agent, too, doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Yes, and I know you want to talk about this, Evan, so this is the time. Now we're ready. Now we're ready.
Yes, excellent.
I mean, I think we've talked about it a couple times. You know, Angel and Nightcrawler really should be X-Men. You know, Spider-Man and War Machine and Nick Fury kind of really should be Avengers.
Or Spider-Man should at least be in the... He could probably be in the Fantastic Four, too, because he was for a while.
Yeah, he definitely could also fit into the Fantastic Four. I really wish they put him there, because there's not really a strong reason that he had to be a free agent, and we're really, really, really low on Fantastic Four. And actually, given the dice and cards that are coming out for Uncanny X-Men, it looks like that... faction or affiliation differential will continue to climb.
And I don't think that's a problem. I mean, that's just, they're not necessarily supposed to be balanced. I mean, you can't shoehorn every single person. And even though I think they did that with, what was it? Namor, was it? I'm probably saying his name
wrong.
Namor.
Even though they did that with Namor, I guess a little bit, though, I mean, we can justify it. They're not trying to shoehorn people in just for the sake of balancing the factions. And I think the factions are a neat element to the game, but they're a little bit secondary to just about everything else.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, I think we talk about, you know, we talk about them in sets, but the truth of the matter is that unless we're talking about a card like Teamwork or Nick Fury, it just doesn't matter. Or the villains.
At least so far. What they're going to do in X-Men? We haven't seen a lot of the cards.
Yep. Well, we've seen over a tenth of them, so yes. It's not like we've seen no cards.
But a tenth is not tons of them, so
yes,
who knows what crazy things they'll do.
It's true. It's definitely true. So yeah, there's definitely some guys who could have slid into the X-Men and the Avengers. You know, some of these guys are more galactic focused, and I can appreciate why they are not affiliated with a team, like, you know, Nova and Silver Surfer, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine we might get a Guardians of the Galaxy expansion, which would introduce them as a faction. But
yeah, I think that's probably down the line. But I mean, definitely with the movie coming out this summer, I would be really surprised. And I believe there's some HeroClix Guardians of the Galaxy coming out, so it's obviously something that's on WizKid's brain. But
With HeroClix, they always release tie-ins to movies and things like that are coming out. I don't know. Some people like that. Some people don't. I don't think I mind it. I do wonder, and I think we've talked about it before, if that's something that we're going to start seeing with this game too.
I'd kind of be surprised. I think the only way we would start seeing that is if we perhaps found something a bit more on the model closer to, like, the, you know, the quote-unquote living card game, where we would start to see mini expansions that did not come with basic actions but only came with perhaps booster kits that provided, you know, maybe 10-ish to 15-ish new characters. But yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I could sort of see that, because I think the bringing in new basic actions especially causes so much balance questions. So many balance questions.
Well, I don't think they do it as a full-blown set necessarily. A mini set would be fine. I don't think it would be similar to an LCG in that I think there would still be rarity and things like that involved.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I more meant like in the living card game version, wherein they come out more regularly.
And I think every couple months would be a decent release cycle for some of those smaller sets. You know, we've talked about how the meta stagnated a little bit with this. I think that'd actually be a good idea. And certainly they do it a little bit. Not to a super extent. They do it a little bit with HeroClix.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think given the relatively small number of cards and the even smaller number of characters, since obviously if you bring one version of a character, you can't bring another version of that same character, the idea of starting to bring out mini packs that have, you know, maybe 10-ish characters, each with one of the three rarities, would probably be a really smart idea to make sure that the meta does not do what it did for these intervening couple of months post-release and pre-uncanny.
Yeah, and maybe just sort of generally narrowing down, make the OPs like, you know, 3 or 4 months as opposed to 6 months, where it's a lot of time to use the same set over and over.
Well, that I don't know if we'll see, just because they do the 6-month story OP with pretty much everything that they do OP for. I mean, short of Quarriors, I guess. And I don't actually... Okay, fair enough. I don't know what they're doing with Attack Wing. Certainly HeroClix does, and I think they're trying to go with that. But even if they wanted to keep the storyline OP, and then 3 months into the storyline, oh my gosh, this plot twist, you know what I mean? That would be okay, too, to have something smaller come out. And realistically, you know, this game is still brand new.
Yep.
I have yet to see a game like this that is perfect out of the box. None of the Fantasy Flight LCGs have done that. Magic certainly wasn't like that right at the very beginning. None of them are.
Yeah.
There's always something that people find. It's playtesting is completely different than having every single person try and break your game.
Yeah.
And that's what happens as soon as any of these games is released. Everybody says, "Ooh, good, how can I break this?"
Yep.
That said, I don't think this would even be feasible until probably the first movie we'd see it with, I'd imagine, would be Avengers 2, just given that they're probably still scrambling to solve the production problem.
Yeah. I do think this is more the way to... because I know we're going to start seeing D&D Dice Masters, and I believe eventually Yu-Gi-Oh! And DC Dice Masters. I think the mini packs are probably going to be the way that they can continue to keep alive each different variant, while also continuing to grow the franchise in different sets.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. I mean, you know, Magic has that regular 3 to 4 month thing, and while I don't want anything huge that's that frequent, because that's part of what I don't like about Magic. I do like the regularity that things can get shaken up. Now, I think that the monthly booster packs with the living card games, that's too often for me, and that's something that ultimately got me out of Netrunner, though I may get roped back in with Warhammer Conquest when that comes out, but I don't know. All right, well, this is normally the part where we talk about the teams that we would make with these people. However, you know, when we're talking about some of the affiliations here, how at least two of these are support pieces and a couple we just don't like, I don't think you're making a team of just these characters,
yeah,
right? I mean, these are all, like, support pieces or extra pieces.
Yeah, there's no team to be made here. Although I will admit, we do have Angel and Strange, who...
Yeah, well, you could probably make something, the core, anyway.
Yes. I mean, Angel and Strange, I, of course, like as a little start of an action-focused deck. But...
And they would work well with Brimstone Biker, who lets you grab those used... Angels and get them back on to whack someone in the face, being unblockable again.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
So there is a little bit of synergy going on here, but in general, they don't play particularly well together. Nick Fury and War Machine absolutely need either a specific Avenger or Avengers in general to assist them.
Yeah, and Nightcrawler doesn't need any to be used ever.
Ever.
And ever. And Punisher, right? I mean, he's the assassin that you bring in. And I think Punisher probably, and I guess Ghost Rider too, fit the free agent mold the best, because they really are, and Deadpool, I guess, as well, they really are their own people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they play best.
They walk their own path. They're, you know.
Yeah. I think they work very well as free agents. I mean, I think a lot of people choose to bring Punisher McRook as their assassin, if they're not bringing a Storm or in addition to Storm. So Ghost Rider in general is pretty good about getting you to recycle your deck a little bit, as is Nova to a lesser extent, mostly in his Quasar form.
Right. But I think the best ones are the characters here who really... They'll work with you when it suits their needs, when there's a common goal, and otherwise... They might be with you, they might be against you. It really just depends on what's happening. They're a little bit more mercenary-like, which is honestly why, again, to an extent, I think that Venom should probably be unaffiliated in at least a couple of his forms. But we've been there. We've been down that road.
Been there, done that.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean there's no team here, and that's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, I do wish that that Worm...
Specifically,
I do wish that specifically War Machine and Nick Fury could have managed to not be there, because I mean, just they're too focused on being part of the Avengers. Like Spider-Man in his current forms, it operates very free agent. He doesn't really rely on other characters to kind of facilitate him. So I like him. He is good. Some of his forms are good. So, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of my little pet peeve. And I'm a little irritated that Angel didn't manage to make the X-Men, because there's no Nick Fury of the X-Men to, like, perhaps double his damage. That would cause some difficulties if it was paired up with a double damage situation. Because I understand why War Machine plus Nick Fury... would have been horrible if War Machine was an Avenger. You could end up doing like 10 damage, 10 unblockable damage to your opponent pretty easily.
Yeah, that's really true. And that would be a little unfair.
That would be super unfair. Although although you can sort of do that with Knucklehead. I mean, not quite as much damage, but...
You can technically do that with Spider-Man.
You can. He can do up to... actually 15 damage if you really play it just right.
This is true. It's true.
Takes a lot of fist energy though.
All right. Well, let's put a bow on that one for today. Congratulations again to all of our contest winners. We will be hoping to do some more of that in the future. Otherwise, thanks for spending some time with us. Thanks for the support. Thanks for listening. Thanks for just being you.
Thanks for continuing to be awesome, guys.
Yes, your continued awesomeness does not go unrecognized.
Yes, and thanks for continuing to follow our news and strategy articles.
And what articles? Strategy. Oh, strategy articles. Okay, it sounded like you said and sucky articles.
That too. Even the sucky ones.
Listen, boo. You. I worked very hard on those articles.
I wasn't saying your articles.
Oh, you're saying my articles?
I wasn't saying your articles
either. I'm
just
kidding. I'm teasing.
Snap.
I'm teasing. I'm sorry, Evan.
Oh, snap.
Everyone's articles are the sucky articles. You are the demons.
Well, I can't add anything to that. We'll see you again in 1 week's time. Hopefully we will have a lot of news coming out of Gen Con. And watch the site, watch Twitter, and listen to the podcast for all of that. We'll see you again soon. Bye.
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 Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Reserve Pool, a podcast about Marvel Dice Masters. It's not just Marvel Dice Masters.
Try again. Once more.